Live from New York, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Damon Amendolara on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confident. Hey, thanks for being with us. DA in for Jim Rome today. Always a total thrill to be inside the jungle, hosting this show as a guest, show that I grew up listening to, and so cool to have Jim open up the doors to fill in a host like yours truly. So this has been a lot of fun this summer. This will be my last show for the summer. But you could usually catch me preceding Jim on many of these same CBS Sports Radio stations. And today, as always, we are simulcast on the CBS Sports Network live in sparkling Technicolor. T.O. decided to have his own acceptance speech outside of Canton, Ohio. Did this at his alma mater of UT Chattanooga. And once again opens up a can of worms for the Hall of Fame. Now there's discussions of whether they should mandate all inductees being in Canton for the Hall of Fame. Joining us here on the show is longtime NFL insider, writer for Yahoo Sports, tremendous columnist when it comes to the NFL. That is Eric Adelson joining us today here on the Jim Rome Show. Eric, how you doing, man?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure, bud. What do you think about this idea of the NFL Pro Football Hall of Fame mandating, before they even put out who the finalists are, you have to acquiesce to being part of the induction ceremony?
Acquiesce is a good word. This just proves Keogh's point. I mean, I don't know why the Hall of Fame insists on making Keogh a martyr. This just shows that the Hall of Fame is wrong, in my opinion. You earn the honor on the field. It's plain as day. And now you have to earn the honor again after you're retired, and you have to sign this oath that you're going to be there. What does that have to do with you being qualified to accept? And so imagine if you say, no, I'm not going to sign. No, I'm not going to kowtow to this. Then what happens? Then are you downgraded? Do you get demerits in the voting? T.O. should have been in first ballot. He should have been in years ago. And I understand a lot of people think he's obnoxious and it's all about him and he has a big ego. But none of those things disqualify you for the Hall of Fame. The numbers qualify you for the Hall of Fame. He didn't commit a crime. He didn't make the league look bad, at least in my opinion. But this does make the league look bad, in my opinion. And I think that as we go, T.O. is looking better by comparison.
So that's interesting, because I would agree with you on the first part. I think it's silly to mandate people have to go. If they don't want to go, they don't have to go. That shouldn't disclude them from, or disinvite them from being part of the Hall of Fame. I would disagree with you, though, that T.O.'s numbers aren't the only part of his Hall of Fame resume. I think part of it also has to be how you elevate your team and how you work with a team. And if you are part of the positive and not the negative. And T.O. has so many broken relationships throughout his quarterbacks and coaches, I think it's totally fair to not let him in on the first ballot. He's definitely a Hall of Famer, at least second ballot. I think he should have been in two. But you don't think that that's a knock on a football career, that he could be divisive when it came to winning football games?
I mean, that's the opinion of some people, but there's also people who saw him play on a broken leg in the Super Bowl. I mean, if he was really that selfish and all about him, then he said, yo, I'm going to protect my body. I'm going to protect my future salary. I'm going to protect my image. I'm not going to risk embarrassing myself on a broken leg in front of 50 million people. And he went out there. Not only did he played very well. He was one of the most impressive people on that field. And he gave Philadelphia a chance. So I understand that a lot of people's feelings were hurt by T.O. over the course of the years. And I understand that he may have been a divisive force in the locker room. But, man, when you have those numbers and when you play in that game and you give your team a chance in the most important game of the season and you risk further damage to your own career, then I really have to go a lot further to call you divisive to the point where you're no longer on the first ballot.
Eric Adelson joins us, Yahoo Sports NFL writer. I think that's really interesting. You're right. He was amazing in the Super Bowl. He pushed his body to come back, and he was one of the most important reasons, if not the reason, the Eagles still had a chance to win that Super Bowl against the Patriots in 2004. But from his division and sniping with Mariucci and Jeff Garcia, whether it was his relationship with Donovan McNabb and then Andy Reid, whether it was Tony Romo and the Wade Phillips era in Dallas, every stop along the way, he had friction and he created friction so much so that he had to keep changing zip codes. Don't you have to take that into account? Even though he had a wonderful Super Bowl, you're right. It's not like just that Super Bowl erases all of the other things that happened to him, correct?
Has Dez Bryant disqualified himself from first ballot Hall of Fame? Do you feel like he's now fourth or fifth because the Cowboys were unhappy with him? Or at least that's what people are saying now about Dez Bryant. I mean, do you feel now that Dez Bryant's Hall of Fame candidacy is besmirched because people in Dallas didn't like him? Is that your opinion?
Well, I think that it's kind of shades of gray with all of this because it's like first ballot versus second ballot. We've now become like it's all or nothing, where second ballot's a tremendous honor as well. I would say that T.O.'s distraction, friction, division is far longer than Dez Bryant's. But, yeah, I think it would be fair to say if Dez ended up being a Hall of Famer, you could keep him out of the Hall of Fame for the first ballot if most of his teammates or his coaches or quarterbacks said this guy was a distraction every Sunday.
Well, I don't know about most. I mean, are we hearing most? Now let me back up and say I'm not going to endorse, you know, some of the things he said and saying McNabb was fired during the Super Bowl. He said some things that were hurtful, and I'm not going to defend across the board. But it's such a slippery slope. I mean, Odell Beckham Jr., he's looking like he might have Hall of Fame. He beat up the kicker's net. You know, he looked bad in that one occasion. You know, Jalen Ramsey threw down A.J. Green. Once you say that T.O. is the definition of somebody who is a miscreant because of things he did, not a crime, and he had the numbers, and he played on a broken leg in the Super Bowl, then you're going to have to look a lot harder at a lot of players who were active, a lot of players who were retired. And basically, you have to say, if you have to be perfect on the field and off the field, you're going to have a lot of situations where you have judge, jury, executioner, and people deciding about character and quality. I just don't think that's a good situation when the Hall of Fame is saying, not only do you need the stats, but you also have to please me. You have to be as good of a person as I say, and I'm going to make the rules about what a good person is or what a good teammate is. And those guys, and I'm including this, not that I have a vote, but I never played football. So if I'm going to hear through hearsay or reports that somebody is not a good teammate, and I'm going to use that to downgrade someone to a second or third ballot, no matter what their numbers, man, that's going to be a real problem for the Hall of Fame, much more than a solution.
I think that's fair. Eric Adelson joins us today, Yahoo Sports NFL writer. You mentioned Odell Beckham, and Odell has a contract situation that has been bubbling now for a while with the New York Giants, and he still does not have a contract extension. Do you think that this will at all impair his 2018 season? Do you think the Giants need to get this done before the season, or does he play this thing out without a deal?
No, I think the Giants and Odell Beckham are in a really good situation right now. He's there. He's sort of letting the business end of it work out. He doesn't seem upset. And, you know, it's early August. And, you know, with Julio Jones and Gurley and now with Aaron Donald, I don't really panic if I'm a supporter of any of these teams until we get to the last week of the preseason. We sort of have a deal. I just think that this is the time for jawboning and posturing, and when you have someone like Beckham, then you have somebody who you need to get in. And there's another couple of reasons that I wouldn't panic if I'm a Giants fan too. One is what happened last year. They didn't treat Eli Manning like the franchise player he is, and that was the major mark on the entire season. I think more than losing, the fans were so upset with the way Eli Manning was treated. I don't think you risk that kind of PR debacle again with now someone who is your most popular player, not only with the older fans, but younger fans, kids. I don't think you risk that. And also the last thing, Jason Pierre-Paul, they could have paid him. They let him go. They traded him to Tampa. And I think part of that, I don't know for sure, but I think part of that was to clear up money for Beckham. I really think this is going to get worked out.
Eric Adelson joins us, NFL insider for Yahoo Sports. Another wide receiver unhappy with quarterbacking would be Kelvin Benjamin, who had comments about how Cam Newton was too inconsistent. Had he had any other quarterback, he said, any other accurate quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, Eli Manning, Big Ben, anybody, He could have been better in Carolina, and thus that's where his career would be. Do you agree with him that Cam Newton held back Kelvin Benjamin?
This is a weird one. I mean, I talked to Kelvin Benjamin about Cam Newton when they were going through the playoffs. He was injured at the time, but he had a year of working with Cam. He raved about him. Didn't say, I mean, he was effusive about Cam Newton. And I'm not sure what's changed in the last couple of seasons to change his opinion. It surprised me. I don't think it's accurate. Kelvin Benjamin had a terrific season, not only in terms of yards, but in terms of targets. I mean, I think he was number one in targets on the whole team his first year. I think he was second. It's not like that Cam Newton was seeing him and then going in another direction. Kelvin Benjamin is, I think, 6'5". They have Greg Olsen, but they drafted him for a reason. They needed a big target for Cam Newton in the red zone. That's who he was. Now, and accuracy is also something that I don't really see. He's a pretty accurate quarterback. Now, granted, if you're comparing with Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, sure. But Cam Newton to me is a top 10 quarterback. It's harder for me to say otherwise. And Kelvin Benjamin, I mean, he's in Buffalo. I like Josh Allen. I'm a bull on Josh Allen. But he might learn real fast what an accurate quarterback really is.
I'm interested to hear why you are a bull on Josh Allen, because so many people worried about him being a project of the NFL.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I see it because he can be erratic. But I just looking at the film, and then I was at the draft, I'm not convinced. I'm never convinced. But I just think that he has the poise, and I think that he has certainly the arm to get there. Now, he could be all over the place and, hitting guys in the stands carrying popcorn. But I think that when you have that kind of – you have to allow for some room for development, for learning an offense. And I have a feeling that he's going to be really good there. I mean, if you look at that division, it could be another year where the Patriots are just they basically clinched the division in September. But if there's a step back – I think the Bills are kind of primed to make a run at that division. They were a playoff team last year. They're young. They're getting better. I like McDermott. If Allen steps up there and he takes control the way I think he will, watch out for the Bills.
Wow. That might be the first time I've heard that in years, watch out for the Bills. Nice job, Adelson.
Might have to delete the whole interview, but I'll go with it.
Eric Adelson, read him at Yahoo Sports Inside the NFL. Follow him on Twitter at Eric_Adelson. Bud, great job today, man. Thanks so much. I'm sure we'll catch up again.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Eric Adelson joining us, talking about the NFL. Watch out for the Bills. Some people calling the Bills one of the worst teams in football. There's Adelson putting his neck out on the line. I appreciate that. That's guts right there. Nice job. I know a lot of you guys want to weigh in on T.O., a lot of you guys want to weigh in on Urban Meyer. I've got a million tweets to get to from the clones, and so I promise all of that coming up here next. I just don't understand how we can believe Urban Meyer after Friday. I'll discuss in depth coming up here next. Also, later on in the hour, we tackle this Hall of Fame situation that comes up from T.O. Should Canton require Hall of Famers to attend? Damon Amendolari, DA in for Jim today, here on CBS Sports Radio and the CBS Sports Network.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Two minutes past the hour. How we doing, everybody? Thanks for joining us. Damon Amendolari, DA in for Jim today, here on CBS Sports Radio and simulcast the CBS Sports Network. You can usually catch my show preceding Jim on many of these same CBS Sports Radio stations. Also, check us out on SiriusXM 206 or using the CBS Sports app, radio.com, or on Apple Music. Time for our huge tweet brought to you by Barbasol Razors. Barbasol is finally making razors That's a no-brainer. Check out the new Barbasol Ultra 6 Plus with six ultra-thin blades. Save on the Ultra 6 Plus at Barbasol.com. Preston tweets, DA, seriously, you sports talk cats just don't get it. Being a bad locker room presence has nothing to do with your performance on the field. Either his numbers, T.O., and performance are the benchmark for whether he is a Hall of Famer or not. He's not the first locker room clown, and he won't be the last. Look at Randy Moss. The Hall of Fame writers are just basically a bunch of clowns who hold vendettas against cats they don't like. It's garbage BS and shows a lack of common sense of their parts. All right, let's pick that apart here. Number one, how many other vendettas can you remember the Pro Football Writer Hall of Fame class holding? How many vendettas? What is their long history and lineage of keeping guys out of the Hall of Fame that they don't like? Don't mix them up with the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's different. The Baseball Hall of Fame is a series of baseball writers that anonymously, they used to, now they got to put their name on it, put your name on it, can vote for X number of guys. Football, you sit around a room, one representative of that team has to pitch him, and then they've got to come to some type of consensus on the Hall of Fame. It's different. Because there can't be a couple of writers that have a vendetta. It's got to be all of the writers that have a vendetta. So you tell me how many football writers have a vendetta against anybody else but T.O. Who else do they keep out because they didn't like? I'm not saying it's perfect, but I know a lot of those guys that vote in that room, and they take that really seriously, and they do not hold vendettas, not the ones that I've talked to. I know they take it really, really seriously. And T.O. is a Hall of Famer. He eventually got in. So cry me a river on how this was so unfair to T.O. Number two, being a bad locker room presence, in my mind, does affect football. Let's just put it this way. Let's say I am up for the Radio Hall of Fame, just like Jim was, and my ratings are there, my affiliates are there, my revenue is there, my time is there, my legacy, all of that is there. But I had to hop from radio network to radio network in my prime because nobody could stand working with me. Producers hated me. Program directors hated me. They kept firing me, or my contract didn't get extended. And there was other hosts that didn't have that as the backdrop. You could say, well, DA has the length of time, the duration, the affiliates, the revenue, the ratings, the success, the following, but the popularity, all of this. But he was a real dirtbag to work with. He was impossible. He was petulant. He had a monster ego and treated everybody like crap. And that's why multiple organizations had to get rid of him. Now, would you not mark me down a little bit, even just a little bit, if that was my background? And what happens if there is other hosts, male, female, what have you, that had the same resume or close, but everybody goes, man, all that person did was made us better, brought the producers in, made the program directors and the salespeople and the general managers thrilled to come to work every day. People wanted to hire him or her. They needed that person. You're not going to grade them higher. You're going to say, well, that doesn't matter. Just look at the affiliates. That doesn't matter. That has to matter somewhere. It absolutely affects job performance. You know, the people that don't grade that out just want to make excuses for T.O. and make it seem like this is a mean girl situation, that they didn't let him sit at the lunch table. They eventually voted him in. I would have put him in year two. But I think it was a totally valid football argument to say all of those other things that factor into winning football games. Like, we don't win football games based on individual stats. How many pieces of evidence and years upon years of evidence do we need to hammer this home? The Philadelphia Eagles that were the dream team? All of the teams, all of the Washington teams that just kept spending money on high-priced free agents? The Dallas Cowboys every year? How many teams do we have to see not win anything of note, despite being the quote-unquote most talented team, to realize it's not just about individual talent? It is how it fits together. So a team goes to the Super Bowl, wins a Super Bowl, and like the Philadelphia Eagles, seemingly loves playing with one another. The defense loves the offense. The quarterback is a backup guy that's not nearly as talented as the starting guy. The starting guy has no ego, lets the backup guy win the Super Bowl MVP. The offensive line is a bunch of guys that come from a million different places. The white guys like the black guys. The black guys like the white guys. Everybody likes the coach. Oh, and that has no effect on winning the Super Bowl, right? But that happens, and we go, man, look at the Eagles. That's a team that loves playing with one another. Now, the Seattle Seahawks have a revolt. They can't stand their coach, their offensive coordinator, for running the football on the one oomph line. They never get back to a Super Bowl, totally disintegrate. We say, boy, the chemistry's terrible there. But then suddenly, T.O. needs to get in the Hall of Fame, and we go, chemistry doesn't affect whether you're a Hall of Famer or not. It doesn't affect football. So when it comes to wins and losses, we totally admit that chemistry and pulling together and supporting one another and being coachable and working together is of value. But then suddenly T.O. needs to get in the Hall of Fame and it's not of value. It's ridiculous. It's total hypocrisy. It is people hoping, probably because you got kept out of a club or a frat or a team, that you remember the Mean Girls thing, that you weren't popular, you weren't at the table, you weren't at the lunchroom. Hey, man, shocking breaking news, I wasn't at that popular table either. But that's not what this is about. There's no vendetta from these writers. You don't think they talk to teammates at T.O.? You don't think they talk to coaches at T.O.? This is done ad nauseum. They meet all the time for this stuff. All the time. I can't believe how often they meet. And you're upset because it feels like Mean Girls didn't let T.O. sit at the table. Man, T.O. was throwing cherry bombs and disturbing the class and the teacher and getting detention every single day so that he had to basically get kicked out of school 3 times. @855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. 12 Wood tweets, isn't poppycock cattywampus from not winning a playoff game in a blue moon? Excellent tweet from 12 Wood. Speaking of, a little Woodscopes action from myself coming up on Friday night. Very excited. I also love the timing of this. It's like 10 o'clock Eastern time. So basically, the guests of Woodscopes have to have nothing going on socially. Nothing, at least not on a Friday night on the East Coast. You're free, right? 10 o'clock Eastern. Let me check with my fiance. Yeah, pretty much. I'm home. Yeah. No. Okay. I can do it. Yeah, that's fine. No, I am very fired up to do this. This should be a lot of fun. Hit me on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, Urban Meyer. Minutes past the hour. DA with you, Damon Amendolara, filling in for Jim today. Always a total thrill to do this, as we've done it a couple of days over the last 2 weeks. You can catch me preceding Jim on many of the same CBS sports radio stations usually. It's time for our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to CBS Sports Radio/Ask the Pros or tweeting it at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag AskThePros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Dan in Boise asks, DA, what do you think about this suggestion that all NFL Hall of Famers need to accept coming to Canton for the induction, i.e. the T.O. rule? Look, I have defended the Pro Football Hall of Fame's decision not to put T.O. in on the first ballot. I have criticized T.O. for behavior in the locker room and on the football field that can be divisive and that I think could easily be interpreted as holding back a team from its heights of success. But I don't like this idea at all. I don't think the NFL should mandate that you have to accept going. Number one, this is only going to be T.O., and it's not going to be other players. You have to realize this is the only time it's ever happened that a player took a personal affront to how long it took him to get in and said, I'm taking my ball and going home. Harry Carson was on that ballot for a decade, didn't get in. Essentially told the Hall of Fame, take my name off the ballot. I'm embarrassed. This is hard. I keep being told no. I get my spirits up. I'm told no. He got voted in and said, this is such a special case. I do not hold any grudges. I am going to Canton. Let me tell you, go read a book written by Harry Carson. Go listen to an interview by Harry Carson. Listen to what this man has to say. He is so much more empowering and smart and intelligent and grounded and somebody that you would want your son to grow up like than T.O. There's a guy that didn't say, I'm holding it as resentment and a grudge. He said, I am honored by it. I'm not saying you got to bow at the altar of the Hall of Fame, but it's an amazing honor. Every other player ever that has not been voted in the first ballot has decided, it's okay, I still want to go. This is not a problem. It's not going to be a problem. Nobody else is going to do this. You don't have to mandate that everybody has to come because it's not going to happen again. T.O. is T.O. Look at Randy Moss, cut in a T.O. cloth, decided to go, granted first ballot, but had he not gotten in first ballot, I'm pretty sure he still would have went. It's just T.O. being T.O. Secondly, telling guys you have to accept coming to Canton or else you can't be a finalist is also silly. That should not be a precursor to whether or not you're a Hall of Famer. You don't want to go for whatever reason. That shouldn't keep you out of the Hall of Fame. I think it's petty and small if you're doing it like T.O., but that should not be a prerequisite. I do not like that idea of where the Pro Football Hall of Fame would go on that. Tweets coming in. Hey, T.O., shut up. Signed Pat Bowlen and Randy Gradishar. That's from Brad. There's plenty of really good football players in the Hall of Fame that did not get in first ballot. T.O. is not the only one to have some type of sad song about it. Rashad tweets, D.A., your take on T.O. shows clearly you are towing the line for the NFL. The only thing the writers were there to take into account was his play on the field. Rashad, I got to tell you, that's the nicest thing you could have said to me. That's the first time ever somebody said I was in the bag for the NFL. I've called the 32 owners a bunch of clowns. I said I would not trust those 32 owners or the commissioner to water my plants if I was on vacation. I have trashed ownership, trashed the league, trashed the commissioner, trashed the organization as a whole on a million issues. Expansion, domestic violence, London series, concussions, CTE, science, marketing, color rush, relocation of franchises. I have destroyed them. That is the nicest thing you could say, that I'm in the bag for the NFL, because it's the first time anybody has ever said it to me. Has Ray Lewis stopped talking yet, D.A.? Signed Gone with the Wind and Lawrence of Arabia. Also from Brad. I mean, 36 minutes, bro. 36 minutes. T.O. is self-indulgent in his feelings. He caught all them feels. Ray Lewis is indulgent in his own importance. Man, you got the greatest of the greats. You have legends, icons that have walked the fields of the NFL. You think they want to sit around and wait for 36 minutes for Ray Lewis to stop his speech? You think they'd be cool if everybody took 36 minutes? 36 minutes. 36 minutes. Did he have a take on Urban Meyer? Weave in the Red Sox and Yankees series? Give me thoughts on Kelvin Benjamin, talking about Cam Newton. I mean, how long does it take to say thank you? I mean, come on. If you asked me to spend 36 minutes talking about myself, it would be hard. Then in sixth grade, I got detention. That was tough. Fourth grade, I was grounded for a week and a half. That was a tough time. Social studies, ninth grade, I think I got an 82. I'm not sure. Miss Williams was really tough that year. How do you speak for 36 minutes on yourself? All you're supposed to say is, thank you. That's it. Chris, the 228. Hey, man, you'd have a bad attitude, too, if you were in the middle of 10 years of clones bum smack. Signed, T.O. That is tough. I will give you that. I will give T.O. that. That is tough. Dan's next up. He's in Richmond, Virginia. What's up, Dan?
Hey, how are you, D.A.?
I'm good. How you doing?
Excellent. Thanks for asking. As far as T.O. goes, you know, he was always had the knock on him of being a bad teammate. And the only thing he did was justify the very reason why he wasn't on the first ballot.
Exactly. It's a vicious cycle because he could never find maturity or perspective. He broke apart all those relationships that he had in the NFL, prevented his star from rising higher in his teams. Then when he was called out on it, held a resentment that he was called out on it, and thus the cycle just continued with this Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and it's sad to because he obviously deserves to be in, but I was watching Steve Smith on the NFL Network talk about it, and he said, I won't even go in to use the restroom. I use the porta potties outside. That's how much it means to me to walk in that place. And T.O., just makes it about himself.
Yeah, and think about being inducted into a place where Walter Payton is, Jim Brown, Jerry Rice. Think about walking or being inducted into a club that has those guys. Guys that built the foundation of the league, Johnny Unitas. Think about having gotten the gift of respect from that club. And saying, it's more about me than that club. It's more about me than that honor. It's more about me than those guys. Because that's ultimately what T.O. said. He made it about himself. Even though if you've ever been to the Hall of Fame, it's amazing. You're walking through these halls of history of the guys that made the league what it was so that T.O. could play. And what he is saying is my feelings are more important than your honor of my career. Look, T.O.'s a totally valid Hall of Famer. He's deserving in every way, shape, and form in terms of his numbers, his production. But the idea that because you didn't get in when you wanted to get in, because it wasn't done your way, you would make yourself more important than everybody else that came before you, that built the league to what it is, says all you need to know. I mean, look, T.O. has a narcissist problem. It is an emotional flaw. It is a mental, emotional flaw that forced him or allowed him to always put himself above everybody else, which, again, just look at the track record of the people that coached him or played with him. I mean, it's not good. If those guys had to write the book on T.O., the book wouldn't be all that favorable, or it'd be really short because nobody would want to say all the bad stuff. So it totally just is a symbol of why T.O. was not in the first ballot in the first place. To me, it's the ultimate, yeah, see, this is the type of stuff we're talking about. I don't know if you saw this news, but Mrs. Garrett from The Fact of Life, also Different Strokes, passed away yesterday, age 92 years old, lived a good, wonderful life. Todd Bridges, who played Willis on Different Strokes, tweeted out a picture of himself with the cast, Dana Plato, Gary Coleman, Conrad Bain, and Mrs. Garrett, Charlotte Ray, and said, RIP, the rest of my co-stars are gone. That was mind-blowing to me. I grew up on Different Strokes, one of my favorite sitcoms of all time. Now, those were very special episodes. Dudley in the bicycle store. You know, Robbie's a drunk at school. Acid rain turns Kimberly's hair green. There's a lot of good social issues there that help teach me right and wrong. T.O. should have watched more of it. And the entire cast outside of Willis died already? They're all gone? That was jarring to wake up to. That was sad trombone time for me this morning. Very sad. And there's a lot of death smack tweets coming in from the clones. And guys, Mrs. Garrett meant too much to me. I can't read these. I can't. I feel too bad. Charlotte Ray, today's your day. Regards the Grim Reaper from Rich of the 970. I mean, do we really need that? You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and now you're dead. R.I.P. Miss Garrett. Come on. I was so bummed anyway. Then I got to read through these. G.A. is next up. He's in Mississippi. What's up, G.A.?
Hey, what's going on?
Not much. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
All right, what's up?
Look, I'm a fan of Gale Sayers, man, the greatest. I think Gale Sayers is one of the best. T.O., he just can't put it together middle, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, Gale Sayers was deserving of being in the Hall of Fame, even though it was an injury-shortened career. Did end up getting in. Gale Sayers was amazing and deserving of being in the Hall of Fame despite having a very short career. Liz tweets, D.A., all that Urban Meyer drama is better than anything I've ever heard in years. Is this CBS Sports Radio or a soap opera? Either way, I don't care. Keep it up. I mean, this Urban Meyer story has so many twists and turns, and I just don't see how you can believe him. Because here's a guy that on the eve of the Big Ten media days fires his assistant coach, who's, by the way, only a wide receivers coach. He is a recruiting coordinator, but at Ohio State, you can find some of those. They'll do quite well, thank you, without Zach Smith. So they fire Zach Smith, and then Urban is asked about why they fired him the next day, and he says he won't say, and says the reports that it has anything to do with domestic violence are not true. I don't know. Who would make that up? Well, that's weird. Because a week later, once the evidence popped that clearly it is about that, Urban Meyer says, all right, I lied. I lied then because I wasn't ready for the question. But I'm not lying now. Now, how do you believe a guy that admits that he lies but tells you, but now I'm telling the truth? I reported it. How do you believe anybody that has admitted that they had lied to you? Now suddenly believe me. Either Urban Meyer was totally fine housing a guy with this past and this history that he knew on his staff because he admitted he reported it, but kept him on staff, clearly. Or Urban Meyer was told by the administration, you cannot fire your wide receivers coach, which I got a hard time believing. That Zach Smith is too valuable to the program, that the administration saying, do not fire this guy. We need him. He's the grandfather, he's the grandkid of Earl Bruce, and you can't do anything to him. Either way, I think Urban has lost tons of credibility with that type of alibi. All right, that will do it. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer today of the Jim Rome Show. Thanks to Tom DeCelestino on the Wheels of Steel. Everybody back in L.A., Adam Hawk and company helping us out. Also, everybody at Mission Control at CBS Sports Network on the TV side of things. Always a thrill to do this when I fill in for Jim. I'll catch you on the flip side tomorrow on my show. Enjoy the rest of your day. Tiki and Tierney is next.